Hello, I'm Ned88. Welcome to my podcast where I catch the geocaches to learn more about this amazing game.
Today I am going to be speaking about logging your geocache finds with Captain Terra. You may remember Captain Terra from episode 1, Hiding Geocaches. Hello, Captain Terra. Thank you for chatting to me again.
G'day, Ned. Great to be back. What are we, 12 episodes later now?
Something like that, yeah.
Awesome. Well done.
It must have been that great first episode that got the ball rolling.
Heck yeah. Probably your most listened to and the most recommended by all your listeners, no doubt.
Yeah, settle down. As we said, you were on the first episode. But for anyone who hasn't listened to it, how and when did you start geocaching and how many geocaches have you found?
Yeah, I started geocaching back in 2009. I was actually still in school at the time, so I didn't have a car license. I didn't have a car. And all of my early years were geocaching by push bike with an old Garmin GPS 72 that my dad used to use for fishing. I just went and nicked it one day and decided it was now mine. And caught the bus, caught the train, pedaled to geocaches, and very slowly built up a find count at that time. Eventually, obviously, got a car, got a driver's license. That was a game changer. And now getting on a push bike damn near kills me. But I have found something like 6,700 geocaches, plus or minus a few.
I can imagine that getting around on a bike would have taken a significant amount of time to build up some finds, especially back in, 2009? There wouldn't have been that many around.
Yeah, and that's not even half the problem. Like now I go out and you pick up the phone, you pick up the app, and you can see as many as you want. Back in the day, you had to plan out your trip, like on the website that had a limit of like 50 geocaches on the map. It was all you could see. And so like I remember I'd plan a trip down the Gold Coast and I knew I'd take my bike to this train station, get off, and I'd pedal to whichever next train station to come home at the end of the day. And yeah, you had to map out and then print like onto like dead tree paper, print all of the descriptions and the map and stuff so that you could have the reference material on the listing with you when you went out. Because my GPS, it was a Garmin GPS 72. It didn't have the information on it. You could put in a waypoint. That was it. Like literally the coordinates, no roads, no maps, no description, no like automatically decoded hint. Yeah, so it was quite a mission. We are living a life of luxury with both the internal combustion engine and a smartphone, hey?
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever complain about poor reception again when I'm geocaching.
No, that's it.
So if you found 6,700-ish geocaches, that's 6,700-ish logs that you would have had to written online, which brings me to our topic today. Online logging. Can we start off with what is a log and how does it factor into the game geocaching?
Yeah, so like let's go right back to the question of like what is geocaching? Let's go back to that level, right? So there's three types of logs in this game. One is the fallen down tree that's hollow and it has a plastic container shoved up it. That's a log, right? Not interested in that guy in this instance. The second type of log is the log book, the piece of paper that's inside the plastic container at the end of your hard won adventure. That there's the physical log or the log book, right? And this was a question that came up in our Facebook group a little bit ago, was what do you write in that book? And, you know, if I can touch on that real quick, like all I ever do is write the name Captain Terra and a smiley face, like just a note to say I was there and when. That's about all you can say about that log book. But I think what we're going to talk about today is the online log. So you know, when you go out into the world and you find a geocache, when you come home, you have the opportunity to log that online, hence online log. And when you do that, you get to write a little bit about your adventure, a bit about the story, as well as the date that you were there, of course. And so the beautiful thing that geocaching.com does with that is over time, any given geocache has this list, a chronological list of who has visited that specific spot or that specific container. Conversely, every single user also has a list, a chronological list of all of the places and all of the geocaches that they've found. And I think that's one of the absolute tenets of this game is that you end up with a list of all the places that you've been. And each place has a list of all the people that have been there. So that's what we're going to talk about is that online log and how to go about that really.
Yeah, so we're specifically talking about the online found logs today. There are, of course, the needs maintenance and needs archive kind of logs, but we're not going to touch on that today.
The DNF, the write note. There's a few types of logs, but yeah.
Yeah, we're going to focus on found it logs because you have a bit of a name for writing lengthy ones.
So yeah, a little bit, hey.
Yeah, so I guess that takes us straight into what do you think makes a good log?
What makes a good log? It's interesting and it's positive. that's kind of it, right? Yeah, but like let's elaborate on that a little bit. Something that I think plenty of new players to the game don't understand is when you write a log, it goes onto the internet. It goes onto your public profile. It goes onto that geocache listing and anybody can read it. Okay. That's not a threat. That's just a simple, just be aware that it's not a private thing. Like it's not a note on your phone. It's actually public. Okay. So other people can go and read it. And I think people either don't understand that or don't properly realize that. So what makes a good log? Well, like I said, it's interesting and it's positive. So you're right. You're writing something about the adventure you have, the experience you had going and finding a geocache. And it's also positive, right? So you're saying nice things about it. I always think whenever I write a log, I want it to be a piece of literature, a piece of work that I would happily stand up in public and say aloud, or say to the cache owner's face, or say to other people.
So as I mentioned, you are well known for your online logs and how much effort you put into them. What drives you to write that way, to put that much effort into your logs?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I want to write the story about why I was there and about finding the thing and getting to the thing. What I think forms a core of my motivation, and it's a question that I think gets asked from time to time, is who do you write logs for? Right. Now, we know they go online and everybody can read them, but you kind of have to write them for somebody. You need to have somebody in mind. And to my mind, there are three people I write my logs for, three of them. So number three is I write my logs for the next guy behind me. I write my logs for future finders. Why is that? Like maybe you've had this experience, Nat, where you're sitting at home planning a trip or you're at GZ looking for the geocache and having some issues and you go and read the logs, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, like you see what people said. You see what their experience was. You see if like maybe it sounds like it's beyond your ability. You have a look at see if maybe somebody's uploaded a photo which helps you refine which tree it is you should be looking at, right? So I like to write my logs for the guy who comes behind me. Now, if I think about the very last log I wrote on the weekend, I went out for a paddle. And in that log, I know one of the lines I specifically say, I left the island at low tide. Okay. Like that's useful information to somebody. They can say, oh, cool. I can access that place at low tide. That's useful information to know, right? So the people who come behind me, yeah, I mean, they're going to read it and they'll get some enjoyment out of it and see the bit of the story and what my experience was. So future finders is the number three people I write my log for. Number two is the cache owner. So something I think maybe is not understood by a lot of new players in the game as well is every single geocache out there is hidden by somebody like you and like me. Other geocaches, other volunteers, other enthusiasts in this game. That's it. That's the only people who own geocaches, right? So you can imagine if you owned a geocache, you'd want to hear nice things about it. You would want to hear people's honest story about what happened there. So I always write my logs with the geocache owner in mind. I think logs can be a good place to talk about things like the condition the geocache is in, if things have maybe changed regarding like access or the jurisdiction of the land that it's sitting on. But also, you know, like you and I are both cache owners as well, Nat, right? How good is it receiving a log? How good is it receiving something and you can read an experience that another individual had in a place that you know that you probably like, that you have some idea about, right? Like it's a good experience to read other people's logs on your geocaches.
Oh, definitely. It's one of the best reasons to hide a cache is to read the logs.
Yeah, yeah, right. And I mean, you've had the experience where you get a log and it's like at all good. Yeah, right. How does that make you feel? It's like, why the hell do I go to the effort of going to this place and putting this container out if people are also going to go to that effort but then just say two words about it?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty discouraging. And, you know, I found 6,700. You found several thousand. Like, we want to show a little bit of appreciation to the other people who make this game possible. So number two, I write to the cache owner. Number one, and maybe this is super selfish, but the number one person I write my logs for is me. I write my logs for a future me. Okay, so I put this question to anybody who's been geocaching for any length of time. Have you gone back and read your past logs? Like, have you done it, Nat?
Yeah, some of the early ones are a bit horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, mine too. And, you know, like full disclosure here, my logs between 2009 up until I think 2011, not great. But since then, like I've changed my philosophy and understanding of this game. So, you know, like, hey, if I can give you 2 years head start in the quality of your logs, woohoo, listen again. Future me, why? Because 6,700 geocaches or 10,000 geocaches or 1,000 geocaches, if every one of those takes an hour out of your life, It's a significant investment out of your life that you've put into going and have an experience, to do some recreation, to challenge yourself, to have an adventure, to hang out with friends, to see some new places, to travel, whatever it is. It's a big investment. And I think a future me will want to look back and remember what I was doing, to look back and have a written record of the places I went and the things that I loved and the experience that I had. You know, one day I'm going to be like 80 years old, we hope, and looking back and, you know, how much enjoyment are we going to get if I look back and go, yeah, I went and found like these 8,000 containers. Like that's not interesting. You know, we all have a terrible memory to that sort of resolution of time, right? So for me, it's about having a record. It's about writing down, you know, what I was up to, my adventures, those stories, so that, you know, I can look back one day and understand what I was doing and why I was doing it. You know, in the more short term, I read back and I enjoy reading about these things or trying to remember a particular trip or what have you. I mean, otherwise, what's the alternative? You have to go and do some sort of journaling or some sort of process. And I think, you know, when you have a log entry for every place that you visit whenever you're traveling or having adventures or hanging out with friends, I think that's a gift. I really do. So yeah, the number one person I write for is future me, is an 80-year-old me looking back and wondering what he was doing in his 20s.
Yeah, I'm actually really fascinated what technology will be like in another 55 years. Maybe we'll all just have it inputted into our brains.
Yeah, you just write the logs directly into your retinas or something.
Who knows? Who knows? If you listen to this podcast in 2074, send me an email.
Right in. Yeah, and enjoy episode 4,632.
So with your style of log writing, your logs are considerably longer than others. Do these ever start to feel kind of more like a chore than something to do for fun? How long do these novels take?
Novels. Short answer, no. No, it never feels like a chore, never feels like a job. And let's just start by saying, yeah, my logs are longer, but they are not, I would consider, long. You know, if I do a particularly adventurous GK, sure, I'll write 1,000 words, whatever. But my average is like 150, 200, right? Like that's not long. How long does it take you to write 200 words? Like that's 4 paragraphs with 2 sentences each. Like that's not a lot of writing. You know, I would easily write that at work each day just into like an instant messenger. Yeah, so I don't think it takes particularly long. I mean, I could walk you through my process, which is I have never logged anything on my phone. I will take a screenshot when I find it just as a reminder, but I'm not logging on my phone on that stupid little keyboard. I always come home and do it on, you know, physical keyboard and on a desktop PC or a laptop. And maybe it takes a couple of minutes per geocache. But, you know, that last log I wrote, I was out on the water for a few hours, came home and, you know, you invest 10 minutes and you write a good log. And you know, part of that process is you get to sit and reflect on the day that was. You get to sit and reflect about the adventure you had, the experience that happened, who you were with, and write about it. And so for me, it's never a chore. It's never a job. Like, yeah, it's something that's got to be done. You've got to invest some time and some effort into it. But no, I don't find it a job or a chore. It's just, honestly, it's part of what I do. It's part of my geocaching experience. And, yeah, I'm a solo geocacher. Everything's up to me anyway. So it's my decision.
Yeah. I've experimented with voice recording the logs as I'm walking. Doesn't work as well, but it's a good way to take some notes. So then when I get home, I remember what I'm doing and, you know, I might be recording here. Oh, a bird. So then a bird magically appears in my log, that kind of thing.
Totally. I totally have done that as well. You know, if I'm finding a few in a day, yeah, I just pull out the native voice recorder app on my phone. It's like, cool, I'm at geocache blank. This happened. On to the next one. And yeah, I can go home and like just have a reminder of what happened. Because sometimes when you find a few in a day, like usually it's on a bushwalk and they blend into each other a little bit. But if you can help to delineate them later on in the day when you're writing. And yeah, it's so much just about self-reflection, right? Just sit down and almost relive the adventure and the experience that you had while out in, you know, doing this game / hobby that you love.
Yeah. It may be controversial to ask, but what are your thoughts on the people who just write, you know, TFTC or found it? Should they really need to write longer logs, or is it kind of just you write what you want to write and you do you kind of thing.
Oh, I mean, absolutely, you do you. if you want to take this opportunity and do nothing with it, go nuts. But I think, you know, if you're going to spend an hour finding a geocache, to spend another 5 minutes that evening or the day after or that following weekend to write about it, I think you're wasting an opportunity. You know, you're going to have these experiences and you will forget about them. You just will, like we all will. That's how life works. You forget about any given day. So I think, why would you not write about the times that you enjoy? Look, does longer mean good? No. You know, you can write a lot of drivel. You can write a lot of nonsense. You can write a lot of copy paste about what you had for lunch. I don't think longer is necessarily good, but I do think that being more mindful, I think being more respectful absolutely is. You know, I think I mentioned I own the most favorite geocaching in the state up in Hervey Bay, and it gets some amazing logs. And a lot of them are first geocaching Australia, loved the concept, looking forward to our trip. Right? Like, that's not long. What is that? 10 words? But it tells me so much about their story. You know, they've come to Australia to travel. Obviously not now during Corona, but normally. You know, they've come to Australia to travel. They enjoyed my geocache. It means it's probably in good condition. And it's set a really nice tone for the beginning of their holiday. Like, gosh darn, what a heartwarming log to get, right? So I don't think it necessarily needs to be long, but I think just be mindful, be thoughtful, write down a few words that make the person who placed the thing feel good, but also something that you can look back on and remember what you were doing with your time at that moment. So people who say they don't have the time to write out a longer log, I think you're kidding yourself. Honestly, you know, like, how long does it take? A couple of minutes, you know, and it's there forever. You know, you will go back and you'll read your logs. I know I do. I know every one of my geocacher friends does. Go back and read their logs. Even to the point, as every guest on this podcast has said, you will make friends in this game. At some point, you're going to have a friend call you and be like, hey, you found this geocache 1, 2, 3 years ago. Can you help me out? I can't seem to find it. Like, you have a log that helps you out. You can at least, even if your log doesn't say where it is, you'll have a flashback memory to where you were and what was going on there, and you can help them out. And like I said, I'm a solo geocacher. I've done everything since I started, and I will probably always be a solo geocacher. And not everybody is. Some people geocache as a team or as a family. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if you have a young family, you have some young kids, and, you know, you go out and you do the treasure hunting thing, and it's all a little bit of fun. You go find two in a weekend or whatever it is. Like, again, what a magnificent opportunity you have to record the growing up of your kids, to record what they were doing and what you were doing as a family. I don't know if you could put a price tag on that when it only takes like a couple of minutes. You know, I kind of think, like, why would you not? And to get like super cynical, every now and then, it's always the forums, right? Like, you've been into geocaching forums either on Facebook or on a website, right? And every now and then there's somebody who puts up a post or a comment that's like, oh, these people that write an essay for a log, who the heck's got time to read that? And I always just think, like, not you, and I don't care. You know, like, I'm not writing it for you, buddy. Like, have you seen all of the Harry Potter movies? Have you read whatever book? You know, like, it's there as a piece of art. It's there as a piece of entertainment. I'm not writing it for you. Mostly I'm writing it for myself. And also, it's a geocache log, right? Like, I have always viewed writing geocache logs as a bit of a test ground, as a bit of a practice for just writing. You know, like, I've been doing this since I was a teenager. I've always had this idea, maybe one day I'll write a book. Maybe one day I'll write for something else. Maybe one day I'll just want to be good at putting my thoughts and ideas into words, right? And, like, I've had 6,700 opportunities to try something to do that. I also view geocaching logs not as the end game, but as a bit of practice, a little bit of fun above and beyond the sort of travel journal blog thing that I've got going on. So I would say, like, if you're thinking out of the time, I think you're kidding yourself. Don't attempt to do your logging on your phone. Like, go home, sit down to a computer and write out some logs. It'll take you minutes. That's it.
I've never actually thought about logs as like a little memory journal kind of thing. So that's a new novel way of thinking about them.
Yeah. I mean, like, have you ever gone and read my logs?
Yeah. I'm actually currently reading some of your logs from a trip that we did to Perth about 4 years ago now. As I'm reading those logs, it's reminding me of our trip and seeing quokkas for the first time and all that kind of stuff. It's a great little
flashback. Yeah, right. Can you imagine, like, you spend a few days going and doing those things and you look back on the logs and all it says is, thanks. You know, like, 80-something geocaches we found that trip, and we have 80-something log entries that talk about the adventure and the trip that we had and what we actually did with our, you know, with a few days over in Perth. Like, that's priceless. You know, you spend the money, the time, the investment in these things, and to look back and sort of have given you nothing for your future self to look back on. I find that insanity. I really struggle with that. When people ask me, why do you bother writing long logs? It's because one day I'm going to come back and read them.
Do you feel, though, that your longer logs are less likely to be read by others?
Yes. In short, I do. But I also feel that my longer geocache descriptions are less likely to be read by others. However, I'm not writing for everybody. I'm not writing for, you know, the maximum readership. I'm not BuzzFeed here, right? I'm writing them for those three specific people. So myself, we've talked about that, the cache owner, because I, you know, as a cache owner, I want to hear a little bit about people's adventure. I kind of want to have maybe a little bit of an update on the condition of my geocache, right? So I would hope that cache owners read the log. And if they don't, that's okay. And then number three, future finders. Let's be honest, the vast majority of people out there write a super brief log, right? Some of them thoughtful, some of them not. But the people I respect and the people I, you know, I'm friends with in this game, the people who, you know, I would talk to at an event, that type of thing, all understand the value of a longer log. And those are the people who I would read their logs and I believe would probably read mine and find some enjoyment or some help in them as well. So will less people read them? Yes. The people I care about read them? Most probably. So that's the distinction I'd made. I wish we could find out how many people read our logs. That'd be interesting, hey?
Yeah. So with all of your logs that you have written, have you got one that stands out as a favourite?
Yeah, and I'll give you this answer for the last 5 years and the next 15 years, the last log. The last log I wrote is always my favourite. Why is that? Because I put effort into every geocache log, and we say effort, literally minutes and a bit of thought. That's it. I put a little bit of effort into every log, but also it's the most recent. It's the most fresh memory for me. If I was to go back and read something, I'm nearly always proud of something when I hit the submit button, which is maybe a strange thing to say, but I'm you know, it's out there on the internet, you know, I am known for my logs. I kind of want to maintain that as well. So I'm always proud of the things I put out. Obviously it does help if the last geocache I found was particularly special or, you know, worthy of a favorite point or something like that, or a given adventure. But I can safely say right now, the last log I wrote is my favorite. You know, there's standouts throughout the years as well. Stuff that I've maybe particularly thought about how I would write it or has been a bit longer because it was a more, you know, epic experience or something. But no, I reckon my favorite log is nearly always my last log. That's not the answer you were expecting, was it?
No, I was expecting some like multi-day hike or paddle to a shipwreck or something phenomenal, not just, oh yeah, my last one.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, you know, standout geocaches, I've got standout geocache logs. And yeah, I have logs that, you know, when you're doing an online log, geocaching limits you to 4,000 characters in a log. You know, 4,000 characters, what is that, 800 words or something? That's a long log. But, you know, some of them I particularly want to record some details of the experience, and I'll write more than 4,000 characters. So I will literally put a found it log with like a continued in italics, and then continue the rest of the story in like a write note as well, just so I can have a little bit more space on there. So some of those logs that are what we call a split log, some of those I really like. But there's some that are a single, you know, 500-600 word log that would stand out because they're reflective of a fantastic geocache or a fantastic experience.
Oh, nice. So when you log your geocaches, I've noticed that it's quite common for you to upload a photo or two with your logs. Is there a reason that you use photos? Do you look back at them, or is it kind of just an upload and forget about them thing?
Yeah, I do go back and look at them. I think photos give us a few things. One of them is proof. So, I mean, pick a geocache and literally, I don't know, you found geocaches in like Turkey, right, Nat?
Yep.
Yeah, like I could go to a geocache in Turkey and like Gallipoli or something and write a log. Cool. So for me, having a photo just adds an element of proof, adds an element of sureness. I don't know who would ever actually be policing geocache finds, but I just like to look legitimate, if that makes any sort of sense. but I think also photos can help us to tell the story. A photo of the people you're with, a photo of maybe holding the geocache, no spoilers, a photo of the view, a photo of the adventure, a photo of the, I don't know, the hire car you're in, you know, the track on a hike, any of those sort of things. I think they can help to tell the story. I also try to be a little bit witty in my photo comments, which arguably is never achieved. But, you know, like adding a photo gives you a little bit of proof as to the story. And, you know, for some reason, I don't know, people don't seem to upload photos yet. It's such a basic anywhere else in this world, you know, like Facebook has how many billion photos uploaded to it. You know, the other day I found a geocache, I uploaded 3 or 4 photos to it. They were the first 3 or 4 photos on a geocache that was over a decade old. And that just seemed crazy to me that nobody else had done it. But every single one of us is walking around with a studio quality camera in our pocket. You know, like everybody walks around with a 4K camera now. You're using the app on it. It's easy to take photos. And I think it takes, you know, an extra second to upload them to your log to help to tell the story, to help to give you a memory when you look back on it. And yeah, see what was going on. See who you're with, what the kids look like, what I look like. Flashbacks to, you know, old cars, you know, it brings back more memories. So yeah, I like you said, I try and upload a photo to every single log. I don't think it's difficult. It's a little bit of a habit maybe to form, but yeah, I absolutely go back and look at them.
You mentioned the word spoiler in your talk about photos then, which just reminded me to ask, how do you write a decent log or upload a good photo and not spoil too much about the geocache itself?
Look, I would classify a spoiler as, for most geocaches, a photo or a detail that gives away exactly where the geocache is and or how it's hidden, right? So you're going looking for a traditional. If I said it's a fake rock at the base of the big gum tree and I found it quickly, like that ruins the game for the guy coming behind me, right?
Yeah.
Or if you've got a mystery cache and you're like, oh, it was a Braille code or something, right? Like, those are spoilers. You're spoiling the game for the guy behind you. So yeah, avoiding those at all costs. And maybe the bigger question here is like, what do you write about in a log? Okay. Now, I think there's a lot of things you can write about and things that you can add in there. And like I said, my average log length is 200 words. We're not writing a lot, but I think, you know, if you can maybe write about who you're with, like you and I, Nat, have been geocaching together as per the podcast name. I've been geocaching with groups of geocachers and, you know, just talk about who was there. You could talk about maybe your reason for going to find the geocache. Hey, I wanted to come find this geocache because it ticked my DT grid. It ticked a box in my calendar. It ticked a JASMA, or it just had a lot of favorite points and was near home. You could talk about the adventure to go get there. You can talk about maybe how long you were looking. Like, it was in the first place I looked, or it took me 10 minutes of looking and, you know, it was not where I expected. Like, it's a couple of words, but it's more than just found it. So you're sitting in front of a computer, Nat. Like, go grab my last log that I wrote, just as an example. Let's do this.
I'm doing it on my phone because my internet is weaker.
Fair enough. Australian internet, right?
Australian internet while using Zoom.
And don't get me wrong, I didn't like tee up my last log or anything. It literally is just the last geocache I found and wrote a log about. Just an example.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, cool.
It's cheap thrill.
Yeah, right. Went and paddled to it. That particular geocache, it was a difficult paddle. It was like 3 kilometers one way. There was a lot of boats I had to deal with. I got blisters, like all sorts of things happened. But flip through that log net. And from memory, that log is about 6,000 characters long, so it's probably 2,000 words. It's probably pretty long. But how much did I actually write about where the geocache is or how it was hidden?
Not a lot.
Might be a paragraph in there?
Yeah, maybe two. You talk about exploring 15 to 20 meters around GZ.
I think I say something about I came across a snake that was curled up in a hollow.
Yep,
sleeping. I got away from him pretty quick. Yeah, so like there's a lot to talk about the paddle over there and what the view was like. And there's a whole lot you can talk about. But as far as actually finding the geocache, it's just a part of the story for me. It's just a part of, I looked around for it. It took me half an hour. I think I made a phone call to a previous finder because I was having some troubles. Found it, signed the log, happy days. So yeah, like that. How do you write a log without posting spoilers? Look, if it's going to spoil the game for the guy coming behind you, either solving the puzzle or finding the geocache, then don't do that. Like, don't take a photo of the geocache in place where it's hidden. Like, if I ever take a photo of myself with the geocache, I usually walk away with it and hold it or something. Or if it's like a custom-made geocache, like if it's an ammo box or a bison chip or a systema container, something standard, like, yeah, take a photo of it. If the geocache container itself is part of the experience, then I wouldn't take a photo of that. But I mean, also that last log net that you had there, like, I think there's like a photo of my kayak on the beach, there's a photo of my hand after I shredded it on a barnacle, and I think there's a photo of the snake, right? Helps to tell the story, but in no way is giving away the game to anybody. And I'll look back on those, go, oh, yeah, remember that snake on Brown Island? Good on him. Wonder how he's doing.
So thank you so much for sitting down and talking about logging geocaches with me today, Captain Terra. I was wondering, it's been a while since we got some advice from you in episode one. Do you have any new advice for new geocaches that are just starting out?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of online logs, a lot of things we talked about, things like just understand that your logs are public, like they go onto the website and people will read them. And, you know, there's a lot of advice about go to events. People will see your logs and they'll start to match a face to a name. And like you said, I have a bit of a name for having good logs. So just understand that those are public and people will read them. People will see them and associate them with you. I think as far as like if you're getting started, I cannot encourage enough to put a little bit of thought and a little bit of time into logs. Like aim for 100 words, aim for 200 words if you're doing less than that. Aim for a little bit more. Obviously, yeah, some geocaches are difficult to write for because it was, I don't know, side of the road or some sort of thing. Some geocaches have more of a story to tell. But have a look. Have a look at people who write logs that you deem to be good, whatever that is. You know, like there's a guy who used to live in Southeast Queensland, Nat, you would know him, who used to write his logs basically as a poem, like endlessly more talented than me. You know, but have a look at people who write decent logs and have a look at what they're doing. Emulate them if you want. But I would say I firmly believe future you will look back and thank you for writing a little bit about the time and the adventure that you invested in while you're playing this game, whether you're finding, you know, one per month or 100 per month. I just cannot encourage that enough. The last thing I'll say about like understanding good logs is to go and hide a geocache of your own. Go and listen to the other episodes. People talk about like what makes a good geocache and what you should do beforehand. But I think it made a world of difference to me after I started placing geocaches and understanding what this game looks like from the cache owner's perspective and how those logs play. Like knowing that every time somebody logs your geocache, you get an email, right? So you'll understand that aspect of the game as well. And when you're writing a log, how that would affect you as a cache owner. That'll be the other thing that I think might help you to appreciate a good log.
So I think what I've taken away from this kind of conversation about writing logs is that going forward, I'm going to try to kind of do the who, what, when, where, why, how. Do you think that's enough? If we cover those things, that's an efficient, effective, and possibly short log?
Yeah. Who, what, when, where, how? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you answer those questions, if you've, you know, maybe writing isn't natural to everybody, I totally get that. Yeah. Answer those questions about the experience and you've probably, I mean, what is there? That's 5 questions or 50 words on each. That's a pretty long log.
Yeah. I'm excited. I might go and log a geocache. Thank you so much for sitting down and chatting, Captain Terra. Looking forward to getting you on next time.
No worries. My pleasure and happy logging, folks.
If you would like to be a guest on an episode or have a topic you would like me to cover, you can message me through my geocaching profile. The link is in the episode notes. Happy geocaching.
Let us know in 2070 if they thought I would.
It's true. It's true.